are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, March 13th, 2018. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Tillerson out, Pompeo in, and Cotton hung out to dry. Anybody? And the heartwarming story of a torturer who didn't let her war crimes inhibit her career trajectory. Meanwhile, Pennsylvania, 18 votes. With potentially... what does that mean? I can't read my own writing. Well, important repercussions. Republicans declare their joke of a House intelligence investigation over... And an ICE spokesman in San Francisco asked to lie, quits. Meanwhile, Trump quashes bid for Qualcomm. And yes, Larry Kudlow may be our next top economic advisor. The Brits say it's highly likely Russia attempted to kill a former spy.
And that's McCarthyism.
Who's bombing Austin, Texas? It's two people are dead, and you've heard nothing about it. Meanwhile, Richard Spencer has a sad. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Rex Tillerson finally gone after all these months. Now, I'm sure all of you are sitting there with bated breath. Because you all remember that Steve Mnuchin and Mad Dog Mattis and Rex Tillerson made a suicide pact, as it were, that if one of them was let go, the other two would also go.
Yeah, psych.
That's right. That's like that thing of like... We'll jump into this quarry with the water on three. One, two, three, and just one of them goes.
Yeah, never. I was never the one in the quarry. Not just because I'm
I understand the Mattis thing. I don't understand why it would comfort you to have Mnuchin on that team.
Yeah, like Mattis could be like the one, like, Mr. President, I've killed more innocent people than you could even do mathematically in your addled head. And I'm telling you, we can't drop a nuke on Guam because the guy didn't agree with you that... A war with Korea would up tourism. We're not doing it. All right, fine. Mnuchin, what would Mnuchin do?
Well, the idea was that they were all going to leave. Yeah. And I guess I...
Bye, Steve. Another Jew.
Right, whoa, exactly.
Big whoops.
Yeah, who cares?
No use crying over spilled grape juice.
I could shake a stick and get somebody who committed mortgage fraud.
Yeah, exactly.
Destroyed people's lives. Wow. I don't need you.
Wow, a Jew on Wall Street who made tens of thousands homeless. Wonder where I'll find one of those.
Okay, so Rex Tillerson gone. There is some serious question about the timeline for how this came about. Now, the White House is saying that they had told him on Friday and that they decided just to pull the plug today. This is not what the State Department is saying. They're saying something completely different. Now, some people have made the have pointed out that perhaps this has something to do with what's happening in Great Britain right now, which is that... there has been some type of gas attack in a pub in Salisbury with the attempted murder, reportedly. Again, you know, I don't know. Do I believe Theresa May and Corbyn seem to also agree? I don't know. my insight to this stuff. If there was a gas attack in Brooklyn that was supposedly perpetrated by Russian operatives or rogue Russian operatives, I would also not be able to confirm it. But this is what's being reported. And there was this sort of dance with the White House. So yesterday at 3:15 during the White House press conference, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders has this to say about the nerve agent attack in the UK after being asked.
Will there be any repercussions for Russia from the United States in coordination with its British allies?
Look, we've been monitoring the incident closely, take it very seriously. The use of a highly lethal nerve agent against UK citizens on UK soil is an outrage. The attack was reckless, indiscriminate, and irresponsible. We offer the fullest condemnation, and we extend our sympathy to the victims and their families and our support to the UK government. We stand by our closest ally and the special relationship that we have.
So you're not saying that Russia was behind this attack?
Right now, we are standing with our UK ally. I think they're still working through even some of the details of that. And we're going to continue to work with the UK, and we certainly stand with them throughout this process.
Theresa May said it was either Russia using it themselves, or that it had given its chemical weapons to a third party to murder a British citizen, the latter being highly unlikely given the nature of this weapon. So,
like I just said, Zeke, we stand with our ally, and we certainly fully support them and are ready if we can be of any assistance.
Okay, so that's Sarah Huckabee Sanders really refusing to echo what the Brits are saying at that time about this attack, which is really along the lines of, like, are you a fascist? And it's, I am not a communist. So then, about 3 hours later, we have Rex Tillerson being reported by the AP as saying that the nerve agent clearly came from Russia to the AP. They had that the U.S. has not gotten very far in improving relations with Russia, with Moscow. And instead, what we've seen is a pivot on their part to be more aggressive. And then this is what Theresa May had to say during that time as well.
It is now clear that Mr. Skripal and his daughter were poisoned with a military-grade nerve agent of a type developed by Russia. This is part of a group of nerve agents known as Novichok. Based on the positive identification of this chemical agent by world-leading experts at the Defence Science and Technology Laboratory at Porton Down, our knowledge that Russia has previously produced this agent and would still be capable of doing so, Russia's record of conducting state-sponsored assassinations, and our assessment that Russia views some defectors as legitimate targets for assassinations, the government has concluded that it is highly likely that Russia was responsible for the act against Sergei and Yulia Skripal.
Okay, now, for those of you who are living on the east coast of the United States, the UK is, 6 hours ahead of us or 7 hours? So let's just assume that she said that at 7 p.m. They did a late night session. It's still 1 p.m. here. It's 2 hours before Sarah Huckabee Sanders was even acknowledging what Theresa May said. Maybe they have different information. But 3 hours later, Tillerson said he seemed completely on board with what she was what Theresa May was saying. And then last night, Tillerson's on a plane coming back from Africa.
Ew.
Where apparently he had ate like a bad street food or something, supposedly. And he said, according to the press corps, Tillerson vowed that if the attack was sanctioned by the Russian government, it certainly will trigger a response. It was reported at that time that he told reporters traveling with him that it clearly came from Russia. It was really an egregious act, et cetera, et cetera. Tuesday morning, this morning at 4:11 a.m., probably right around the time that Saul was yelling for me, saying that he had to pee, Tillerson's plane lands in Washington. There's no...
I was going to say, you're trying to link those events.
That's a coincidence.
Okay. All right. I don't know what patterns you're seeing.
And then Tuesday morning at 9:15, Tillerson finds out probably from Twitter that he's been fired.
Now, well, yeah, we got the sound, but it should, I guess it should just be noted though, and this doesn't, I mean, it all is works with this administration, is like all of this is happening, and there is this sort of odd Russian theme. Mike Pompeo is ultra-hawkish against Russia. I know we'll get to that.
We'll get to that in a second.
Not just in general, like Russia specifically.
Here is Trump saying that maybe the facts aren't straight about what's going on with Russia this morning.
Yeah, as soon as we get the facts straight, and we're going to be speaking with the British today, we're speaking with Theresa May today, and as soon as we get the facts straight, if we agree with them, we will condemn Russia or whoever it may be. But I have not spoken to her. I'll speak to her sometime today.
Well, he's being very extra cautious, right? Isn't he? I mean, that is highly responsible. As soon as we get the facts straight, if we agree with them.
All of a sudden, he sounds like Obama.
Right,
very
exactly.
Bizarre,
so very, like, very.
I like to know everything before I make a comment. I need
don't
to have
make a comment.
All evidence in front of me.
Good guys on both sides. There was good guys on the getting gassed side. Good guys on the gassing side. Both sides.
It was a brave decision to defect, and the Russians were justifiably upset that he did defect. Speaking of which, Mike, can we put deadly nerve agents at bars, please? Why did Russia get to do all the fun stuff? We have to be so discreet. We can only kill people in brown
Is Carter
countries.
Immune or something?
Yeah, what's the matter? Why can't we just kill Obama? We can kill kids. Why can't we kill Barack?
So the fallout from Tillerson being fired is there's a couple of things that we can anticipate. The probably most important issue surrounding Tillerson's firing is that we will not have access to oil and gas reserves around the world. No, that's not. Well, sort of. There is reason to believe that Tillerson was a moderating force within the administration in terms of the administration's perspective on the Iran deal. Because there's a lot of players that the Trump administration, broadly speaking, seems to be, I don't want to say in cahoots with, but yeah, in cahoots with. We know that Kushner has had some deals with the UAE, and certainly Nikki Haley also is on the sort of the Saudi UAE
Israel
axis.
Always Israel.
And so Tillerson was it's hard to say this, but a voice of reason within the context of the perspective on the administration's relationship with the Iran deal. And here is Donald Trump hinting at this.
Rex and I have been talking about this for a long time. We got along actually quite well.
Pause it. I just want to remind you, I think Rex Tillerson was reportedly referred to Donald Trump as a effing moron. Now, to be fair, it seems like 90% of the cabinet also referred to him in that way. But I'm quite sure that Tillerson did.
But we disagreed on things. When you look at the Iran deal, I think it's terrible. I guess he thought it was okay. I wanted to either break it or do something, and he felt a little bit differently. So we were not really thinking the same. With Mike Pompeo, we have a very similar thought process. I think it's going to go very well. Rex is a very good man. I like Rex a lot. I really appreciate his commitment and his service, and I'll be speaking to Rex over a long period of time.
Over a long period of time?
Yeah, over a long period of time. Kutch, I like the verbiage. I would either break it or do something.
Right. So that's a little hint that at least the Iran deal is in trouble in this context. And
that was, I'm sorry, I just need to say, that was the one global reason. Like, I could table everything else. And I mean, if you were really fully arguing it, you wouldn't. There were other areas that were important too. But, like, stipulate horrible Clinton foreign policy on nearly everything. That was the reason. Right there. And Tillerson, of all people, was the only person, I mean,
and you're talking about respecting the Iran deal,
upholding it.
So that is probably, and I don't, off the top of my head, there is a provision in the Iran deal where the president has to reaffirm every, I think, 90 days.
Every 90 days. And this has nothing to do with, the actual deal. Congress threw it in because they basically thought they would use it to humiliate Obama and then Clinton every 90 days. To be
right.
Like, see, you're co-signing that Iran's the best place in the world, but now under Trump, it becomes a different thing.
Right. And so it's unclear what happens next with, but I would imagine sometime in the next 60 to 90 days. I don't know when that comes up again. They're going to use that as a pretense to begin to assault this deal. And when you have, I mean, let's face it, we have a big election today in Pennsylvania. It's not big insofar as Connor Lamb is going to be our favorite congressperson. It's not even big in terms of the Democrats taking control of the House, because I think this district is gone in the fall. What it is going to be is it is going to shape a certain media narrative. And if Connor Lamb wins in an R plus 11 district, in a district where Donald Trump won by 20 percentage points, where Donald Trump visited, where Connor Lamb, and this is important, has been attacking Paul Ryan, where the Republicans' attempts to run on the tax deal was abandoned 2 weeks ago because it wasn't working. The question is, where are Republicans going to go after this? Where do they hide? If Paul Ryan is shown to be toxic in this district, if Donald Trump is irrelevant in this district, I think their usual go-to is going to be either be afraid of black people or be afraid of Muslims. And the Iran deal would give them something for that. I mean, that's one concern. Here is the guy who's up for election today. Remember, this was an empty seat that was vacated. It's a special election. It was Murphy, who was a very staunch family values type of guy and was willing to apparently extend that type of value to people who were not in his family, specifically female staffers.
Yeah. He's a flexible guy.
So here's Saccone. Now, generally, when people think of the word underdog, you presume that means someone who has no chance of winning at the beginning of a race or a competition and then goes on to win. Here, that word gets a little bit of a massage.
Well, I've always been the underdog in every race I've ever ran. This is my fifth election. So I relish being the underdog. That's good.
Yes, he's not the underdog. He entered the race as a, of course he's going to win. And now it looks like he might lose. It's 50-50. But that's not what makes you an underdog. If the idea that you might lose makes you the underdog, then there are no non-underdogs. So,
is he the guy from yesterday with the little arm flap?
Yes.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Saccone.
Wow.
Meanwhile,
I would say after seeing that video, I think it's totally fair to consider him an underdog. At literally any undertaking he's ever participated.
Yeah.
He's an underdog at life.
To speak to your last question, isn't this district fairly working class? A lot of union labor?
I don't know how much union labor is there anymore, but I think it is a fairly working class district.
Because, I mean, where is the Republican Party going to go? It's going to go where it's always been for the most part. Like, most of the people who voted for Trump were not poor. And I feel like that was certainly a small, significant part of it. But, you know, the Republican Party has always been a party of the ruling class.
But this is a district that also went for Mitt Romney 20 points. This is a district that votes Republicans. And if you can't spend close to $13 million in this district, and there's reports out that the DCCC apparently funneled some money in quietly, but nowhere near what was the totals spent by Republicans. But if you're a Republican and you're in this district and you're looking at this district, you can blame Saccone, I guess, all you want, which is what they're attempting to do. But the reality is your $13 million didn't work, and there's no way you're going to be able to put $13 million into every race that is an R plus 11 district where Donald Trump won by 20 votes across the country. I mean, 20 percentage points. $13 million. Trump's visit doesn't mean anything. Paul Ryan is a liability. What is left for you to run on at that point? You have the tax cuts don't work.
Little thing called racism.
You run on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely run on that.
Exactly.
And also just people's general hatred of liberals and sort of caricature liberal elites.
He certainly tried to do that. We saw that clip yesterday of Saccone saying we're grabbing our guns and our God.
Wouldn't it be cool if Saccone with his little arms was like, and Chuck Todd, sleepy eyes, son of a bitch. All of these like horrible mediocrities start trying to copy Trump's like weird charisma.
And even, and again, we don't know what the turn, what's going to happen today, but we will find out probably within about 12 hours of our talking now, less. Even bringing in Donald Trump Jr. to eat ice cream may not have worked.
Trump, should Stormy Daniels be able to speak, sir? Should Stormy Daniels, Mr. Trump, should Stormy Daniels be able to speak?
Thanks, Jess. That's not what we're talking about.
Nom, 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 nom.
Exactly.
Do we know, is the problem for the GOP, is it depressed turnout or a turnout on the other end?
We're going to find out. I think it's going to be both. I think it's going to be both. I mean, there's no way this race should be this close, and I think it's going to be both, but we will find out shortly.
There's a report from the New York Times that says, my union or my president, dueling loyalties, mark Pennsylvania race.
There you go. Well, Connor Lamb has certainly gotten endorsed by the unions in that area, and so that's going to help in terms of turnout. Want to just turn back to what's going to happen. Two interesting things in terms of the succession of Tillerson. Pompeo is in. Pompeo was reportedly slow walking the CIA's investigation into Donald Trump. I'm sure that that made Trump feel good about Pompeo. There was reports that Tom Cotton, back in the day when we were talking about Tillerson being fired months ago, that Tom Cotton would become CIA chief. It is conceivable that folks in the Republican Party said, you know what? After Alabama, we shouldn't be taking a sitting senator and putting them in a position in the administration, because that opens us up to a certain electoral liability. So the good news is that Tom Cotton will not be the CIA chief. And here, this is great news. The ceiling has been shattered, folks, the glass ceiling. We have our first female CIA chief. And boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy, is she more than qualified. Because this woman, Gina Haspel, She oversaw the torture of multiple terrorism suspects, and then was instrumental in the destruction of videotapes documenting their torture in a secret prison in Thailand. In fact, she was the head of what of this black site in Thailand. This is where clandestine American intelligence officers regularly tortured people suspected of being affiliated with Al-Qaeda. This is all from the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence report on what happened at the prison and who was involved. This, of course, was part of the Bush administration's efforts to combat humanity in the wake of 9/11. She was one of the program's most prominent leaders. She oversaw the systemic torture against Al-Qaeda members, including Abd al-Rahman al-Shasari and Abu Zubaydah, who, I guess it was al-Sisi, who supposedly told us that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction.
How many waterboards was he
80,
in?
I believe it was 86, but that's just off the top of my head. Now, there was a guy, Jose Rodriguez, who was the head of the CIA clandestine service. He supposedly authorized the destruction of 90 videotapes in 2005. They were being requested by the Senate Intelligence Committee. He destroyed them. And at the time, he was the fall guy for this. But 7 years later, in a memoir defending the use of torture, he wrote that Haspel had drafted the cable ordering the tape's destruction. She was Rodriguez's chief of staff at the time. So it's unclear whether or not the order came from him or from her, but she was certainly deeply involved in it. Haspel, the CIA wanted to have her run the clandestine operations. DiFi, who was then the senior Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, blocked the promotion. And there's been over the years some Democrats who have had a problem with her. But here's what the problem was. Zubaydah was waterboarded 83 times in a single month. He reportedly had his head slammed into walls. And, you know, frankly, we don't have the videotapes, so we don't really know how much worse it got than that. I imagine it got much worse.
I think Jose Rodriguez acknowledged at least like smacking and waterboarding in a 60 yes. minutes interview at the very least.
Yes. And if you admit that.
Right. There's your 30% you're
right.
admitting to.
Exactly. And the bottom line is that the number of people who are coming back into this administration who should have been in jail had Barack Obama not had the opinion that we should hold none of these people accountable for anything, that we should simply turn the page, that we shouldn't even read the page. And I feel like I'm a broken record on this because I probably said this 24 times over the past 7-8 years. This is what you get. And this was no surprise. We saw this with Watergate to some extent. We saw it with Iran-Contra. To a greater extent, each time you hold these people less and less accountable, the bar gets lowered and lowered and lowered in terms of what they what it takes to hold people accountable. So you can talk about the destruction of norms under the Trump administration, but understand that these were midwived by the turning the other way by the Obama administration, whether it was on in terms of the banks. We talked about why Steve Mnuchin, instead of sitting in a white collar prison or having just got out on probation doing community service, is now the Secretary of the Treasury. Here's another example. And understand that every time you have one person like this that we can see that should have been held accountable, there are dozens, if not more, people who are subsidiary to that person who are also getting away with stuff, who are also sending a message throughout the institutions that they populate that you will not get punished for doing these type of things. And in some instances, you will continue to float to the top.
And become head of the CIA.
And become head of the CIA.
I think a button, people should look him up more. Jose Rodriguez, it's just because you mentioned this. He was also questioned in the 80s as part of Iran-Contra because he was in the Latin America division. And in 1997, he was condemned by an inspector general at the CIA for intervening with the Dominican Republic's government on behalf of a friend in a major drug trafficking case.
I mean,
so this is that's just how it works. And yep. Of course, as you say, like, Jose Rodriguez represents dozens of other people.
I don't know. I think you guys are being kind of sexist. Would you be criticizing her torture record if she were a man?
I would like to come out and promote our new CIA director. This is Hillary Clinton. I saw Black Panther. There's a super predator I can get behind.
I mean, honestly, it's just that people should contemplate this. She oversaw the heart of the torture program. And now she's head of the CIA 10 years later. Like, it's not that, that time where she broke...
the glass ceiling.
Where she broke the glass ceiling, but also the glass ceiling apparently around the Nuremberg laws and the...
The glass ceiling was a window pane over a suspect's face in Thailand.
But not only did this not slow her trajectory, she is basically at the pinnacle of her career. Not to mention, like, now we have the head of the CIA whose perspective on torture is not only good to do, good for the career, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
How is she going to...
And the Secretary of State is a promoter of torture as well, and Mike Pompeo.
How is she going to say no torture? Why would she?
I don't think that there's even... I mean, and also, again, just from Jose Rodriguez was... He didn't, like... He came out to, you know, sort of reposition himself from a career perspective. He defended the program at every step of the way. He was happy with that. There's no reason to indicate that that Gina Hashbull would be, she hasn't recanted anything.
No.
I mean...
Of course not.
Even, you know, Brennan, the torture complicit people that Obama brought in, they had to leak that they were like, oh no, we were super
so
not
felt
into
bad about
this.
It. Right. Brennan had to do
well,
a little
this
big dance.
Was happening. Right. I was totally not into that. These ones were like, no, that was cool.
It's nuts, folks. It's really nuts. But this stuff is important. Next time, we'll see if we can get it right. Got to turn the page over and over again, he said.
Mm. Mm.
Now George Bush and his chief speechwriter, the Axis Evil, now they're heroes.
Right. Right.
Now David Frum is a hero.
David Frum. Look at what David Frum still writes about Muslims. He's just a friggin', like, I understand that there are, like, tasteful Likudniks. That should not be like the test of how far policy goes.
All right. Lastly, lastly, we mentioned this earlier, and this is important because, you know, folks, when you're president, you want to be guided by certain principles. You don't want to react knee jerk to anything. People recall that Rex Tillerson apparently referred to Donald Trump as an effing moron. To be fair, only based upon conversations that Tillerson had with the president. Can't look inside. So. But here is Donald Trump asked if, in fact, he fired Tillerson because Tillerson had said that he was an effing moron.
It's a different thinking.
What?
Say it again. I respect his intellect. I respect the process that we've all gone through together. We have a very good relationship for whatever reason, chemistry, whatever it is. Why do people get along? I've always, right from the beginning, from day one, I've gotten along well.
There you go. Ignores the question about the moron. And the interesting thing, he comes back with like, I respect his intellect. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did hear it. I'm just not going to address
it. All right. Lastly, this is a good story. It's nice to see something like this. The spokesman for, now, as you know, the, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago, the Oakland mayor, Libby Schaaf, warned the immigrant community in Oakland that they were anticipating ICE raids. This is U.S. Immigration Customs Enforcement officers were planning to raid areas around Oakland. The ICE officials and Jeff Sessions criticized Schaaf for tipping off the immigrants about the raid. Apparently, there were about 230-some-odd suspected undocumented immigrants who were arrested. But they were attempting to claim that there were 800 or so criminals at large because they were tipped off by the mayor. In fact, last week in Sacramento, Sessions said, those are 800 wanted criminals that are now at large in the community, 800 wanted criminals that ICE will now have to pursue with more difficulty and more dangerous situations, all because of one mayor's irresponsible action. Well, the San Francisco spokesman for ICE resigned over what he described as false and misleading statements made by some of those top-ranking ICE officials and by Jeff Sessions. The guy's name, James Schwab, spoke out to news outlets on Monday. He said that statements made by Jeff Sessions and acting director Thomas Homan that there were potentially hundreds of criminal aliens that evaded ICE was BS. He said that he pushed back on that characterization internally and that ICE had told him, deflect questions. This is what he had to say. I quit because I didn't want to perpetuate misleading facts. I asked them to change the information. I told them the information was wrong. They asked me to deflect. I didn't agree with that. Then I took some time and I quit. Good for him. He said, I didn't feel like fabricating the truth to defend ourselves against her actions was the way to go about it. We were never going to pick up that many people. To say that 100% are dangerous criminals on the street or that those weren't picked up because of misguided actions of the mayor is just wrong. In other words, there's probably like 700 moms running around the San Francisco area now taking care of their kids. He said ICE never arrests 100% of the people initially targets in an operation. The operation was not even originally expected to arrest the 232 suspected immigrants, making it more successful than planned. Not necessarily the way that I would measure success, but at least the guy is willing to quit because he's being forced to lie. You know what else would be a good idea to quit? Just quit because it's ICE and they're terrorizing immigrants. That would be a great idea, actually. Don't wait for them to make you lie. Quit now because they're stripping you of your humanity. That's my message to anybody who works for ICE. And if you're worried about it, I can almost guarantee you, I don't know what you make at ICE, but I almost could guarantee you that if you made a show of it and started a GoFundMe, that you would make at least a year's salary. You'd get your, you get a severance, nice severance package. Because that's how disgusting ICE is. And it would be a nice encouragement. Buyouts for everybody associated with ICE. All right. We're going to take a break, head into the fun half of the program. Ladies and gentlemen, this show relies on your support. You can do so by becoming a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. When you become a member, we give you extra content every day. Sometimes you can perceive it as extra content. Maybe you can perceive it as the main content and the free show as the extra content. We don't box you in. We don't constrain the way in which you use the show. So for that added flexibility, become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, don't forget, today is Tuesday. You know what that means. TMBS night. Who's on the show tonight, Michael?
Foreign policy guy, Derek Davidson. We're talking about Tillerson, the Iran deal, and Gulf Cooperation Council. And then there's a comedian, Dante Nero, is coming on. And we're talking about how he became, how did he become the figurehead for the Proud Boys, even though he's a black man?
Who's this?
He's a Dante Nero.
I don't know who that guy is.
Way to sell it.
Oh, well.
Nice. Thanks, Sam. It's good stuff.
That's cool. Good.
Who are the Proud Boys again? I don't know who that is.
Who are the Proud Boys?
That's Gavin McGinnis' group.
Okay, that's
so
what
we're
I
talking
thought.
About.
That's
this,
what I thought.
Yeah, sort of. And that and a lot more.
And once
tonight, 7 p.m.
Once again, it's pronounced Proud Boys.
Oh, excuse me.
Proud Boys.
Proud Boys.
Yeah, I have heard there's some... Gavin's going through some tough
things.
Stuff.
Are a little rough on the Gavin front.
Poor Gavin.
Self-improvement-minded chronic masturbators, you now have Jordan Peterson.
Yes.
For those who are not aspiring to actually move to Williamsburg and try to feel up a Mexican girl, you have actual Richard Spencer. It leaves very narrow lane for cooled by 2004 standards aging podcasters. No offense.
No, none taken. But I have to say that, honestly, like, if you can't be successful in that world...
Things are looking pretty bleak. I have to admit to you, Samantha, when I saw that video of Gavin... And Mike Thanovich and the crazy Canadian guy who makes Jim Jones look like Mahatma Gandhi. And the other guy
I had dinner with some friends.
Really?
Who?
Breaking news music.
And they, with their son and their nephew. And the nephew is a smart kid. Very smart kid. He's like 15. And
sounded very Trumpy.
No.
Smart kid.
Tough. Super tough. Very smart. And he has always been like, you know, he gets his news from YouTube. Right. And so he listens to this show. He also, he listens to like Kyle Kulinski, a couple of different people on the left. He is Sam Harris curious, although he thinks a lot of it is junk. And somebody, he recently broke up with his girlfriend, and one of his friends sent him Jordan Peterson, like self-help
Here's
stuff.
How do you get back in the game and clean
and
up
he
holes?
He was sharp enough to say, like, this guy's full of crap on a lot of stuff.
This 15-year-old is
like,
this is not the road to go.
So, but when Gavin's name came up, he was so dismissive that it was almost sad.
Awesome. Come on, what was it? What did he say?
He just was like, no. Like, it was just like, it was.
Oh, now I want to know.
Like, he was like, he would at least take all these other figures somewhat seriously.
Right.
But like, and even like Cernovich, he was just like, that guy's a tool. And but with Gavin, it was just more of like pity. And I thought that was like,
that's very perceptive.
It was
it's not just intellectual.
He's extremely
got
smart,
intelligence.
Very smart guy. Very smart guy. I mean, for a 15-year-old. But I felt bad for Gavin with how dismissive this 15-year-old was of him, and I was just like, oh boy,
that's
oh boy,
good.
Yes. So. Gavin, if you're out there, I was going to say something encouraging, but
Nope.
Also,
get a hug. Psych.
Folks, also, don't forget, Jamie's Patreon is in effect at patreon.com/JamiePeck. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Also in effect, you get 10% off using the coupon code MAJORITY. Going to take a quick break. Head into the fun half, 646-257-3920. Back in a minute.